Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikin.
And good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
Hi, Jane Marie. Jane Marie and I are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here every weekend talking to you about estate planning and Medicaid planning, powers of attorney, healthcare proxies, little stuff like that, big stuff like wills and trusts and something called crisis planning. It's a call-in show, and you can reach us at 518-476-5900, or you can come to one of our four offices in Albany, Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs, and down in Kingston. Good morning, Jane Marie.
Good morning. How are you?
What's going on?
Are you buying presents for your wife for Valentine's Day?
Oh, you know what? Enough with the Valentine's Day.
What?
Yes, of course. Of course. Flowers and the whole thing.
You struck a nerve, Jane Marie.
No, it's just, you know.
I know.
There's other holidays that we celebrate each other and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Yes, of course.
Okay.
The answer is of course.
Of course.
And for the kids, too. They're going to be Valentine's as well. I assume you're expecting some sort of treasure.
We're actually going away this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, taking a little trip.
Very nice. Yes. Where are you going, if I may ask?
Vermont.
Oh,
little
nice.
B&B type thing.
Very nice. So heading north.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. That's great. You know, I was just as the little intro song was playing, I thought to myself, you know what? I thought that we had the best job in the world, but John Gabriel has the best job in the world.
Really? How is that?
Well, because you get to play the most amazing songs.
Oh, that I agree with you. Yeah, that's why I love oldies, and I've been doing it for years, yeah.
I mean,
it's fun.
It's like, I guess I'll go to work and play some Elvis and some Paul Simon, I guess.
Yeah, I was
pretty good.
I was telling you too that, you know, some of these things we call oldies were, I played them when they were new.
New hot tracks.
I've been doing it for a while, yeah. Anyway, it's fun. Yes, you're right.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
So, Jamie, what's going on in the legal world? What kind of stuff are you seeing out there?
Oh, lots of stuff going on. So, it's funny that we're talking about Valentine's Day, and I kind of have stories where couples aren't doing so great, right?
Well, go on. Please share.
Sure. So it's not an uncommon situation. It's a second marriage, and they come in to talk about doing their estate plan.
Okay. I think I know where you're going with this. And
but husband has a son from his first marriage. The wife has two sons from another marriage.
Okay. So second relationship.
Second relationship, right.
And you know, not the word baggage, but kids from previous relationships.
Right. That's right.
Baggage.
Yeah, but
they're not baggage.
No, they're not baggage. Okay,
no,
but that doesn't mean that that's the opposite of Valentine's Day. I mean, they found love a second time.
Well,
nice.
They find love until they talk about the money.
Oh, I see.
In this case, the husband has a lot more than the wife.
Okay. Well, that's not. Okay.
By a lot. Like a lot.
Okay.
So, you know, in a first marriage, most of the time it's all to my spouse and to my children, right?
Yeah.
So, second marriage, it's, I want it to go to my kids, mainly. Maybe some to my spouse, maybe not.
Well, you're right. The basic, quote unquote, I love you, Will, everything to spouse and then everything to our children.
Right.
Doesn't work because our children aren't our children.
Right.
Although I will say a lot of times when I have that fact pattern, especially when the kids, their respective children are all young when they met.
Right. Like the Brady Bunch, right?
Kind of like the Brady Bunch.
Right.
Well, we could talk about that later, by the way, because I have some fun facts about the Brady Bunch. I did a deep dive on it once. So if the kids all grew up together, a lot of times the sentiment of the clients is, well, they're our kids.
Oh, that's true. So I have a lot of cases where they consider them all their own and we have to write them into the will.
And that's awesome.
Right. Yeah, that's
great. Fantastic, right?
That's great.
And I've brought this up once before. In the questionnaire, a lot of times they'll just put, like, let's say there's two kids from each spouse in their second relationship. In the questionnaire, they just put the names of all four kids.
Right.
And the first thing I always do when I look at the questionnaire is I look at the date of marriage.
Oh, right. And
to see if the date of marriage is after the date of the children, because then you could, you know, I know stuff without having to ask.
Right.
Necessarily.
Well, and the reason you do that is if it's not your biological kids, you have to specifically include them as your kids. Right.
Right. Well, the word, we use the word issue legally. You know, a lot of estate planning attorneys use the word issue, which means your bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
But the person you consider your child is not your bloodline. It's the person you consider your child. They're not legally your child, and that matters. It may not matter at Thanksgiving or at Christmas or something like that, but it matters, you know, in the world of inheritance and in the world of estate planning.
Right.
So if we did the, well, what's wrong with the everything to each other and then to our kids, and we're on the same page, what's wrong with that?
The issue with that is, and I'll make the husband die first, now the wife has all the money.
Factually accurate, probably. Right.
Accurate, right. And then I always, this is my favorite example to use, is the pool boy.
So she rotates between pool boy and cabana boy. It's just don't listen to her, John.
Okay, same type of person.
Let her go on this little thing here. Go ahead. Yes. Yes, Jamie, please.
Raising eyebrows over here.
Yes.
So the pool boy comes along and, you know, the wife decides that he's doing a great job cleaning the pool and she wants to leave him half of her estate.
In a related story,
wow.
Jamie always is asking her husband, can we get a pool?
Yes. He always says no.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Why do we need a cabana, Jamie? I don't get it. Well, so after, and it may not even be pool boy territory, Jamie.
Oh,
it might just be, hey, your kids are being jerks to me now.
True.
You know, so, or the relationships fell apart.
Or it could be, I only want to give it to my kids, not your kids.
Yeah.
I could change my mind, right?
Well, so the changing your mind part, Jamie, that's super important because we are always championing the flexibility and control that our clients have when they do some of this heavy-duty planning. You're planning for long-term care to preserve that pie, to split it up to all the kids so that everyone gets as much money as possible. All your hard-earned money is protected. Well, we want you to do that while you have the ability of doing things like amending your plan to change your trustees or your beneficiaries. And if your surviving spouse has that power, they can use that power for good or for bad.
That's right. So, like you said, in the first marriage situation, you can amend the trust. You can change the beneficiaries. You can change the trustee. That's great flexibility, even though it's an irrevocable trust, right? Second marriage situation, you may not want your spouse to have any ability to change the beneficiaries.
Right. Now, let's flip it the other way, which is, well, you also still want them to have some level of flexibility. So what are we talking about? If, you know, there's this little thing in New York law, it's not the same in every state. And in New York, John, you'll love this. In New York, an irrevocable trust can be revoked.
Yes.
But it's irrevocable. But it says it could be revoked.
Aren't they going to change that phraseology or whatever it is called?
No, well, they...
Because it, to you, I'm sure it makes a lot of sense, but to a layperson like me, it's like, huh, what?
I agree.
Yeah.
Maybe they could use different words, because we use the word irrevocably a different way, but there's literally a statute that says that if all interested parties to a trust agree, a trust can be revoked entirely or partially. You could pull money out.
Right.
So the interested parties are yourself, whoever sets up the trust, and then your trustee and your beneficiaries. So being able to change who the beneficiaries are or who the trustee is means that you have the power to have money be removed. The trust literally doesn't allow it, but New York law does. So let's fast forward to husband dies of this second relationship. Everything's great, okay? We all love mom or quote-unquote second mom, stepmom, whatever, and she needs some money from the trust. We need to pull up 50 grand. Well, I need all of those people to agree. That's what New York law says. Previously, we could amend the trust to change whose agreement we need. If you lock them in, Jane Marie, after the first death, which is not uncommon, by the way.
But if
you do that, and one of the children says, well, wait a minute, I just figured out the more you take out of the trust, the less we get one day. And they want to throw their body in front of that.
Right.
So if we're trying to say to someone, look, you still have control of the situation. Upon a upon that first death, you may lose control of the situation, and we need to weigh what's more important, the control or guaranteeing our kids get a certain amount of money so that our surviving spouse can't change the plan. And it's can get very icky.
It can. It can be pretty tough. In this one situation, you know, as we look at everything that they have, right? So there was a very large IRA that the husband had.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of it was a trade-off that is going to the wife, so she has the IRA. So in the trust, they agreed to say it's not revocable. Well, they
yes,
can't
understand.
Change the beneficiaries after he dies.
If she's the surviving spouse, she will not be able to change
that's
the beneficiaries
correct.
Of the trust.
That's correct.
So it's interesting. I've seen the exact opposite as well, where the kid, my kids, are going to be the beneficiary on the stuff that's not in the trust.
Oh, true. The
like
other
retirement.
Way. Right.
And then everything else is spouse first, then kids. And the plan is still that we treat all our kids the same. But our protection, in case you change your mind down the road, is at least I guaranteed my kids are getting something.
Yes, I've seen it that way too.
And it's tricky because everyone's living longer, and if you meet, you know, the love of your life as a second relationship, and let's say you're 45 years old or 50 years old, we may be having four decades of that marriage.
Right.
Yeah. So you want money for your second spouse. You want to take care of them. You know, you love them. You want to make sure that they're all set up.
Right.
You know, I kind of feel like it's like the discussion people have when they're thinking, let's get married. And oh, by the way, we need to do a prenup. You know, it's like, that's such a weird thing. It's like, well, we're going to do some estate planning and plan for our futures and taking care of our kids, my kids, your kids, you know, and our grandkids, which are all of, you know, however, Jamie just brought up a very good point in our meeting with her, which is, do we want the ability to change the plan down the road? And when the assets are uneven, it's a thing. I had a similar fact pattern to the one that you were dealing with where, again, assets skewed towards husband in the second relationship. But there's enough assets in wife's net worth where I'm thinking maybe we do two trusts and we're not, you know, in my world, I'm not doubling the cost to the client. It's just a plan.
It just fits.
But maybe,
better.
You know, we'll put her assets in hers. We'll put his assets in his. Mm-hmm. We'll say there's life use on property. I know right. that you were talking about that before. You know, we don't want spouse kicked out of the house if husband had the house before the marriage, right? So you have certain life uses, but we otherwise have independent estate plans.
Well, another case I had, same second marriage situation, they were going to leave the house, life use of the house to the wife. She doesn't have a lot of assets. She probably wouldn't be able to afford the upkeep or the taxes on the house.
Right. What do you do then?
Right.
It's a good, yeah.
So she has a house, but she can't afford to live there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's tough. I guess you could try to get some equity out of the house or, you know, sometimes we can't, you know, status quo can't remain after somebody passes, unfortunately.
True.
Especially if the Social Security, the pensions, those things don't necessarily pass to that second spouse. Or some of that income is already spoken for by the first spouse, Jamie.
That's true. That's right.
That happens a lot as well. I think, you know, in the world of trusts, where I see the most revocable trust plans in front of me are the ones where it's second relationships. We're a little too young to plan for the long-term care stuff, but we do have this rather complicated family tree and you know, I've seen situations where very quickly after a second marriage, everything is to spouse.
Right.
Everything is to second spouse. And I get a little worried sometimes because there are fact patterns if something, God forbid, happens soon, where those kids from the first relationship may be out.
They may be out of luck.
Out of luck.
And you got to think about that.
Think about it in the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston. Our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And in the first half of our show, if you missed it, it was a good one, Jane Marie. We were talking about the lovely topic of second marriages and planning for those spouses. What can possibly go wrong?
It's a great topic for Valentine's Day week.
Well, listen, if you say, well, you know, that's a tough conversation, I'm not thinking about having, what's worse than that is the default when you don't have a plan, where sometimes we have spouses who, surviving second spouses, the love of our lives, Jane Marie, we want to give everything to this person, but we never actually planned that way. And they can't afford the house that they may be living in, or you know, the relationship between she and or he and their stepkids falls through, and it ends up being a lot of litigation. Another situation where we see a lot of litigation, unfortunately, there's a couple of clients dealing with it right now, all too familiar. So, dad already has passed. This is a normal, normal husband and wife, three kids, let's say.
Okay, right. First marriage, right?
First marriage. Husband dies, eventually mom dies, and we meet with family and, the executor, the daughter, let's say, and the daughter says, there's one problem. Mm-hmm. My brother has been living with mom the last 20 years, last five years, whatever. And he doesn't want to leave the house, and he doesn't really make money. He's not going to be able to afford the house. What do we do? He's in this house. What do we do with the house? Because we're all supposed to get the house evenly.
Right.
What do we do?
And he can't afford to buy them out, I guess.
Yeah, can't afford to buy them out. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to sell the house. His life is about to be turned upside down. He needs time, Jane Marie. He needs a year to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
What is Jane Marie saying?
Don't give him a year, because then you'll never get him out.
So what do you do? How do you get him out? What would you do?
Well, I mean, if he wants to buy, it's hard. The only way he could buy his siblings out is to go get a mortgage on the property. He may not qualify for a mortgage.
Yeah, he has barely any income. How's he going to qualify?
Right.
And I don't want to be mean, but, he's got to go at some point. The big asset was that.
A lot of clients have said to me, I don't want to be mean. And then 3 years later, they're like, he's not leaving. He said he would leave in a year. Now it's been 3 years. Worst case scenario, if that's where you're going, is you have to sue him for a partition action.
Yeah.
Well, so a partition action means that you're forcing him to say either buy us out or we're going to sell the house.
And try to force some sort of sale out there.
Right.
And he could be the buyer in that forced sale situation.
True.
It could be anybody else.
He could buy the house, or he has to move out and they sell the house to a third party and they split the money.
Now, sometimes that happens when we're doing a probate. So we were already in the world of courts.
Right.
But where it hurts the most is when someone didn't, they did the best planning you could do. They didn't trust. They put the house in the trust.
Right.
We avoided probate.
Right.
But now we're going back to court because we have that situation.
That's right.
It is, it's very tough because at the same time, there's a good probability that that son was taking care of mom the last couple of years. And you know what? If not for that son being there, we know at some at some points he might be a big weight on mom. Mm-hmm. But if not for him, maybe she would have been in a nursing home years ago and there would be no home or no value in the home. So it's a tough and it, discussion.
If we're dealing with it on the planning side, not on the end, after death side, I encourage the mom to really talk to the kids about it, or to say, if I want him to have the house because he took care of me.
Yeah.
Or he gets to buy the house for half of the fair market value, right? There's options you can do, but it's not going to work unless you make that clear.
Right, and to connect this to the first part of the show, there might be other assets where you overweight those assets in favor of the other kids, but you do give the house to your son. I mean, what I see a lot is that in that fact pattern, the person can't keep the house because they can't afford the house.
Right.
The fact pattern is the kind where they're probably not working and they can't afford the taxes, which, by the way, are going to skyrocket. Because it's no longer under mom's enhanced star exemption and you know, whatever.
Right.
And so all the expenses are going to go up. The house is in disrepair. This is the house we grew up in. And it just causes all sorts of conflict. I don't know what the exact solution is other than exploring from mom while she's still alive. Hey, what would you want?
Right.
Because at least you could say to the family, well, I met with your mom and we talked specifically about this. And I know we're not happy that your brother's there, but she said specifically, I want him to be staying there.
Right.
That's not great legally, but it does help with the feelings part.
Sometimes you can do where he has the right to live there, just like we were talking about with the second spouse. So ultimately, ownership is still with the three kids, but he has the right to live there. I mean, that's a little, it's not the best solution because they're not getting anything right away, right? But they're ultimately an owner on the house.
I mean, long story short, you have to have a plan. Think about it. It's the most basic of fact patterns. At some point, a spouse has passed. It's now mom or it's just dad. He's got a couple, you know, three kids.
Mm-hmm.
What could be so complicated? Everything goes to the three kids, Jamarie, right? Easy.
Right.
But when one of them is living in the house, it's now it could be a really difficult situation.
Yeah, we hear this all the time that, you know, my other brother lives in California or someone lives in Texas and they don't do anything. They never come visit, right?
Yeah.
So should they get their third or should they get less?
We don't have enough show left for that one, Jamarie. That's equity versus equitable, equal versus equity or equitable. Excuse me.
That's right.
So you were talking about Valentine's Day before. I know what you're doing on Valentine's Day at 10 a.m. John, do you know what Jamarie's doing on Valentine's Day at 10 a.m.?
It has to be 10 a.m. I have no idea.
Exactly 10 a.m.
Okay. All right.
She's going to be talking about estate planning and Medicaid planning myths.
Uh-huh.
We have a webinar on Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's great.
You know, when you're thinking, what am I going to get my significant other for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, there
what
you
about
go.
Registering them for a 10 a.m.
webinar?
I can't even get it out without laughing. So 10 a.m. this coming, it's webinar week coming up, guys.
Now you need a good Valentine's Day poem, Jamarie, for that webinar. Mm. So you got to come up with one between now and then.
Okay. I'm going to be researching that.
I don't know what.
So on Valentine's, no joke, Valentine's Day, Tuesday, 10 a.m., Medicaid and estate planning myths, 10 a.m. So normally we did 2 p.m. We're doing 10 a.m. this week.
You need to get ready to go out to Valentine's Day dinner in the afternoon.
Yeah. If you missed it because you were so worried about getting flowers and chocolates and all that stuff, on Wednesday the 15th at 10 a.m., Jamarie will be talking about aging in place, the concept of getting care at home. The numbers have changed in a really good way. That doesn't happen often or really ever.
And how can one hear this webinar?
They have to... Great question, John.
Yeah.
They have to go to our
tell everybody.
So you go to our website, herzoglaw.com, and you go to the webinar seminar page, and you just click register. It's that simple.
Okay.
Very easy.
Fantastic.
And if you're the type that likes to go to every single webinar you possibly can, and Tuesday and Wednesday were not enough for you, Thursday, 10 a.m., that's the 16th of February. By the way, 16th of February already. We're almost there.
I know.
We're doing it.
Crazy.
We're going to be talking about wills versus trusts. That's Thursday at 10 a.m.
Did you see the crazy weather for Thursday?
It's
60.
Close to 60.
But then I saw the less crazy weather like the next day, which is down to like 30.
Right. Well, you know, it's still winter, but it's what is, we haven't really had much of a winter anyway this year. And last year was the same.
Yeah. What's amazing to me is last week we were talking about how cold it is everywhere.
Right,
and negative 12.
See how quick it went away the next day?
It's unbelievable.
Wow, yeah. Strange. Anyway.
Well, back to this Thursday Wills versus Trust for a moment. Jamie, I had the pleasure of speaking to a bunch of seniors up in Saratoga County this past week, and the topic was, you know, this estate planning in general and wills and powers of attorney, and then we got into trust, and I heard someone in the back kind of comment, like, I wish I had an estate to give, you know, or I don't have enough money for a trust, and they were talking about...
I hear that a lot.
Assets, I'll bet you do.
Yeah, they were talking about the assets they own, and they're thinking trust, like trust fund... Richie Rich, or something
like $1 million.
You got to have a lot of money. Yeah.
When we're dealing with trust, do you have a house? Because we want you to avoid probate. We want you to avoid court. And one of the best ways to do so is a trust. We want you to protect the home in case you have long-term care needs. Again, we're going towards a trust. I didn't say you have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the stock market. I'm saying you have a house. And I think there's a disconnect sometimes, Jamie, where when people hear that, just like you hear irrevocable, and John thinks, wait a minute, irrevocable means irrevocable. Yeah. People hear trust, and they're thinking certain things in their brain about what that means.
They're thinking about money, a lot of money. I mean, that's where I would come from. So I understand this guy in the back of the room saying, you know, I wish I had something I could, you know, something there for a trust. But you do if you have a house.
It could be as little as a house. It could be more than that.
A lot of our trusts are just houses.
Which is good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the purpose of the trust, if nothing else, is avoid probate. Or, hey, what? Guess what? My son is in the house. He's not doing so hot. So I want to make sure I have a plan that can't be, you know, successfully challenged, at least. We're avoiding probate. And my plan is that my son is going to be in that house for the rest of his life. And then the house could be sold and split amongst the kids. And, oh, by the way, here is a little bit of money just to help pay the upkeep of the house. Right. And guess what? Rest of you kids, no one's getting an inheritance until your brother's out of the house.
Right.
But it's your brother, and we love him, and he's been taking care of your mother and I for a very long time.
Right?
Whatever it is. So it has less to do about having lots of money and more to do about having a plan that you want to execute, protecting the house that's likely paid for, that you spent your whole life paying for. And I found it very interesting because sometimes we forget, like John mentioned, there are these words out there that have different meanings to different people. And so when we talk about trust, you got to do a trust, we're talking about you got to avoid probate and have a plan.
That's right. This week I met with a family, and I'm always happy to meet with them after the husband died. But there was no need for them to meet with me.
Oh, that's the best meeting. There's an hour block, John, and we're in and out in 5 minutes. We have good news. There's nothing that needs to be done.
You
don't have to pay us a dollar. We're good here.
Right. You had a trust. It was just everything.
Mom and Dad did everything the right way 15 years ago to make this as easy for you as possible.
And that's how it should be.
And then Jamie has another 55 minutes left to do other work.
Yeah, coffee break.
Coffee break. Yeah, that's right.
Or coffee break.
But it's really great. And they're just so happy that they did it. They're like, this is amazing. This is easy.
The rub sometimes is that the plan's benefit doesn't happen until there's some bad news, though.
Well, true.
But it is so much, it's like salt in the wounds when, you know, we lose a loved one and then there's a lot of confusion and a lot of court, a lot of expense.
Right. That's right.
At least, you know, having your affairs in order can make that a lot better.
And then the other good thing is, well, they're like, do we have to change mom's estate planning documents? And I'm like, no.
But Jamie plans for so much doom and gloom.
I do.
They don't need to change anything.
They don't need to change it.
Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.